Fight!
Welcome again to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And we're on episode Lucky 7.
Yeah! Have y'all played Animaniacs since we last spoke?
No.
No, unfortunately.
Not any.
Not any, because
I want to go back and play the other one a little bit at some point, but
the Genesis one?
At the chance, yeah.
Yeah, you should.
Have y'all thought about Animaniacs any?
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely thought about them. I thought about Kenny being Dot.
Yeah?
I'm not offended.
One of our listeners that follows us on Twitter, @JessicaLift, said that she hadn't thought about Animaniacs in years, and then she listened to the podcast, and now she can't get the Countries of the World song out of her head. Do y'all remember that song?
I listened to that week. That's one of the like, I went back and watched the show pieces that I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's her Twitter name?
@JessicaLifts.
Well, you're welcome, Jessica Lifts.
For getting that song stuck in your head.
Yeah.
For geography.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Who is one of your favorite video game heroes? Protagonists. One of your favorite characters.
I'm really, really bad at favorite questions. So instead of giving you a great favorite answer, I'm just going to tell you one of the first ones that came to mind. And that is the Star Fox guy.
The Star Fox guy?
Wow. Obviously, he's not that important to you if you call him the Star Fox.
Listen, I just want an excuse to say do a barrel roll, and that's not even him.
Oh, you're not even talking about Fox?
No, I mean, I am, but I just, for some reason, that game popped into my mind, and we need to do some 64 games for sure at some point. He's not my favorite.
Not even close. You don't know
maybe,
his name.
maybe Link. I mean, that's like a cop-out answer.
That's my answer.
Okay.
You're just
whoa.
You're just saying what comes to your mind.
Fine.
We're not letting him pick the ones.
I don't get to have my own favorite.
Kenny, you're wrong.
You're just Sid Meier's.
That's not true. Just because I played some Civilization this week. I will say one of my fondest memories of a main character isn't a character that had a name, because it was in a game you always named it yourself. But I will say the warrior from Dragon Warrior, the old NES RPG.
Fair enough.
Where you're just picking. Okay, mine's Link.
Or maybe White Mage from Final Fantasy.
No.
Your turn.
Mine is Link from The Legend of Zelda.
And mine's not, because that's...
No, it's not. It's definitely not.
Why?
I probably don't like him as much as you do. I really don't.
Why do you like Link? Why are you so attached to the guy?
Because of his... clothes? I don't know. Because that was my game growing up.
Because of his clothes. Like that's the
creepiest answer.
No, that's how I pick my favorite protagonist in video games. That's
I don't have a green clothes. Tunic.
Right.
Who's your favorite clothes wearer then, Dustin?
My favorite clothes wearer? That's easy. You're asking my favorite clothes wearer?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Kenny. Come on.
I know your answer, because your answer is the same no matter what.
No, I'm not going to pick him. Goodness, I don't know, actually. Vincent Valentine has a pretty cool getup from Final Fantasy VII. But one of my favorite video game heroes is Ezio Auditore da Firenze.
Did not expect that.
It's not necessarily my absolute favorite, but one of my favorites.
Kenny, were you expecting Cloud?
No, yeah, I was expecting Cloud or a really, really terrible segue into this week's game. I wasn't sure which.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about Ezio, if you don't know. He is the main protagonist in Assassin's Creed 2.
Oh, okay. So, boom, I kind of called it.
Assassin's Creed 2?
Yeah. Yeah, Assassin's
Creed 2. Terrible segue achieved.
Assassin's Creed 2 is one of... I didn't plan this. Assassin's Creed 2 is... In my opinion, one of the best in the Assassin's Creed series, which is a series that I've been a fan of for a while now. And it's interesting to note that just a couple of days ago, the newest Assassin's Creed game came out, Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Which is why we actually went off list this week to play a game that inspired the Assassin's Creed series in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And he's always Russian.
Yeah. have either of you played Assassin's Creed before any of the games?
Yeah, I played Assassin's Creed 1 on the 360, and I hated that game. And then recently, Dustin, you...
incoming.
Huh?
There's so many fans of that series.
Dustin, you inspired me and motivated me to try out, was it 4? Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag,
yeah,
the pirate one. And I loved that game. That was a lot of fun. But I'm not sure if it was so fun because of it was Assassin's Creed or that they just did a pirate game incredibly well. So I haven't been back to the series and probably won't play Unity because of... No, Syndicate, sorry. I probably won't play Syndicate because Fallout 4 is coming out and I'd rather buy that.
Kenny, have you played Assassin's Creed?
I have played a tiny bit of it. I have friends that are a big fan of the franchise and intended to do a commit to playthrough. But I'm just less of a console gamer lately in life, and so never pulled the trigger. I have watched some of it, and I'm kind of generally familiar, but I'm not a big Assassin's Creed guy.
Yeah, well, Syndicate, like I said, came out on the 23rd, and it's getting some good reviews, some poor reviews, but whether or not you're a fan of the Assassin's Creed series, you can't deny that it's been a successful series, and the Assassin's Creed series, believe it or not, was birthed out of the game that we played this week, was birthed out of the Prince of Persia series. In fact, the creative director for the Prince of Persia series was set to work on the next Prince of Persia game. They had come out with a couple, and I think it's her goal or was to come up with the new Prince of Persia game, and it was to be about an assassin who was the bodyguard of the Prince of Persia. But she didn't like where it was going. She didn't like a Prince of Persia game not being about the Prince of Persia, and so it turned into its own game entirely, which became the first Assassin's Creed.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like a successor, and like it motivated it, not just like a spiritual successor. It was like literally what launched the series.
Yeah, I mean, it and spiritual successor, yes, but also just straight up successor. Like, this was a game, and they continued in the Prince of Persia series, and they made, you know, a flawless movie with Jake Gyllenhaal, but
I don't have to check IGN on that one. Never seen it, but
you probably shouldn't. I haven't either, but yeah, Assassin's Creed came out of there, and I mean, both have been somewhat successful series, but I guess that will take us straight in. Let's do an overview of this week's game, Prince of Persia.
Overview.
You do an overview.
Okay. Well, Prince of Persia.
Take that.
Prince of Persia came out in 1989. So when I was young, Nolan, you were not born, and Kenny was about 40.
I was already halfway through my life.
Yeah. It came out on Apple II, which we joked about that last week, but that wasn't a console, that was a computer. And so it was really old.
Thinking about this game, that doesn't surprise me though. The look and feel of it for some reason feels more computer and less console. I don't know how to like even put my finger on it. It's just sort of an ambiguous kind of since I had, but that totally doesn't surprise me.
100%. I mean, I felt that as well. Okay, so like, there were many ports of this game. Many. I'm talking about, this might have been the most ported game of all time. I just made that up, but I wouldn't doubt if that was true. Most of the ports happened in the early 90s, like 92, when it was ported a lot. I think it made it to Genesis as well as Super Nintendo, among many other different things. It's a platformer. You're in control of an unnamed protagonist who you're taking through a series of dungeons to save a princess and defeat a bad guy. I mean, there's nothing genius to the story.
Is it really unnamed? I kind of feel like they set it up where you are Aladdin.
I mean, it really feels that way. You're a prince of... I mean,
the guy's name is Jafar, too.
Yeah, so the enemy is Jafar. The bad guy is Jafar. They did obviously borrow heavily from that early story. It wasn't called Aladdin.
Well, and this was before like Aladdin, the Disney movie, came out and kind of like majorly popularized in mainstream for that, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they took heavily from the Arabian Nights stories, which
right.
was what Aladdin came from.
Sure.
So
so they're like stepbrothers.
He is an unnamed protagonist. It might be, Aladdin's brother. So these versions are very, very different. What versions did y'all play? Did you actually do the Apple II or
No. I think the SNES is what I did.
I went out and bought an Apple II.
Yeah.
No, I also played the Super Nintendo version.
Okay. Did y'all play any or get to look any of gameplay on the earlier version?
I looked at gameplay from the NES port.
Okay. I saw some just like screen grabs. I didn't watch any play, but just for different like graphics.
Yeah, it looked really bad.
So yeah, I was able to play. I started this week trying to play the Apple II version, and I cannot express enough how different and look and feel and sound these versions are, because the Apple II has no music while you're playing. It's got sound effects for spikes and for doors, but there's no music during the dungeons. So I mean, it's
kind of scary.
Yeah. And the mechanics are even more difficult. The look is obviously
that's a bold statement.
Well, I know, because the mechanics in the first place, and we'll talk about that shortly, are difficult, but even more so on the Apple II. There was great music added to the ports, in my opinion. I liked the Super Nintendo music. Did y'all?
Nope. I did. It was I liked it. I thought it was weaker than the art, like graphically. I thought the visual look of it was pretty stunning at places, and I liked the music, but it was a little repetitive.
Yeah, that's the only music.
Yeah,
and there's battle music, but
yeah, you get the battle music, and then you get the running around music, and it got old, but I thought it was good.
Maybe I was just excited that there was music. Coming from the Apple version, there was none, and so when I got to the Super Nintendo and there was music, maybe it just changed it entirely for me.
Oh, hey, I've got to interrupt real quick and let you know that you have less than 25 minutes to complete this podcast. No pressure.
And Kenny's saying that for a reason. Let's talk about gameplay.
Gameplay.
That little pop-up that always reminded you this game is hard and you're going to fail, and no matter what buttons you push, it's going to accidentally pop up and be on your screen anyways, was super annoying.
That was really stressful.
It was so stressful.
It's an interesting mechanic, but it's like,
Without a hard like time limit, the game would have been difficult enough. Like, you add that onto it, and it's like, what?
And I was thinking, what if you... I mean, you know how they give you a password similar to Mega Man to start back. Okay. What if you, like, does it remember the internal clock so that when you put in that password, say you're close to the end of the game, but you only have like 10 minutes left to be at a stage, do you lose the game?
I don't know. I would guess that it does, but it may not.
And you just wasted an entire playthrough?
Or maybe there's some kind of preset clock. I didn't answer that question. It'd be interesting to know.
Y'all are talking about the Super Nintendo version, which is fine, but what you're not understanding is that in the Apple II version, you only had a 60 minutes worth of timer. I think you've got double that in the Super Nintendo version.
You have 2 hours, yeah.
In the original version, you've got an hour timer.
Same amount of stages?
Same amount of stuff?
No. In the original version, there's 12 stages. I think there's a couple more in the Super Nintendo version. And if you don't complete it in the time, the princess dies, game over. And in the original version, there was no save state. There was no nothing. And so you had to beat the game in one sitting or you start the game over.
Like no passcodes even?
No passcodes.
Because even with passcodes, I felt like it was ridiculous on the Super.
I feel
like you would have had to take 5 years of your life to beat that game.
I take that back.
That's
not...
You didn't have the internet and the guides, and the only way to like figure out these puzzles is to just try them again and again and again and again.
That's not impossible. An interesting mechanic, because... Okay, say someone actually does beat this difficult game. They're done with the game. Like, they bought your game, played it in one sitting, and now it's over.
I think they tried to create replay value in... after you beat each dungeon, they give you the time it took for you to complete that dungeon. And so I think, you know, the idea
they were trying to get you to like speed run it.
Yeah,
like
see how fast you can do this.
Sure.
And not only that, there are places in some of the dungeons that you never have to go if you don't want to. So there's stuff that's unexplored. And
that's true.
And there's secrets. Like there's one place that you would never know is that I don't even know how someone found it, but like you have to do a leap of faith, like you're about to, you know, just plummet down, and you do plummet like two different levels, and then if you're holding the right button, you'll catch onto the wall, and there is a, you know, a health vial that will give you another arrow of your life. So like there's things like that.
Okay, that makes more sense. Like a time attack. At least they added that, because having a time limit to complete the game is like stressful, and
I feel like sometimes it's valid. I don't know that I loved it on this game.
We already said, but there's 12 stages, and they're dungeons, and they're pretty similar. They change colors, at least in the ports. I'm not entirely sure if they changed colors in the Apple version. You get a sword in the first stage. Did y'all get that far? Did you find the sword?
Yeah, I found the sword.
Yeah, I got through like first. I got through a couple of stages, but not very far.
Okay. Yeah.
I did try and get past the guy, the enemy with a sword, numerous times without it. Before realizing
there
was the other way, and that was a dead end of sorts.
Yeah.
It was literally a dead end for me. I just
died. Took me a long time to find it, but I didn't know what I was looking for. Because I didn't find that enemy before finding the sword. So I didn't know what I was looking for.
Instead of right. Yeah.
I found it, and then you can't go, you know, you can't keep going when you find it.
At that point.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then that kind of teaches you, all right, I need to go back and look for something that I can do different now.
Right.
So there are three main traps that are throughout the levels. So one of them is spikes that come out of the ground whenever you're in close proximity. Another trap?
The spinning, like, from the wall, there's like logs, I don't know, trying to decapitate you, and you have to like crouch and go under them. Do you not know what I'm talking about?
I don't know if I remember those.
No, I don't know.
Well, how far did you get?
I don't think there was a crouch feature. Maybe you got a lot farther.
No, there's definitely a crouch feature.
It's like a hazard. It's like if you're not looking, it'll hit you. When you get close to it, it's like a spinning arm, like a wooden arm that comes out of the wall, and you have to crouch under it.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
There's gates.
Yeah, there's gates, there's spikes.
There's falling floor.
There's the guillotine type.
Yeah, there's the chomper thing.
The chomper thing.
Like, got teeth.
And then there's just pits.
Holes, yeah.
Holes, yeah, in which you fall.
Which is annoying because some of them are pits and some of them are the way you get down to the next level.
Right.
How do you tell the difference? Oh, you don't.
Trial and error.
It's my favorite game design.
On top of all those things, there's sword fights, which are not easy.
Oh, very frustrating. Listen, can we talk about the input lag?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Just
that's what makes this game so hard.
Absolutely.
Every move you make, your character has an animation to it, so you have to wait for him to do it. It's the most frustrating way to navigate and fight. It's bad.
Absolutely. It just felt terrible. Like it was a fun game, but like the fact of like I'm trying to do things and it's not translating because of the way the input and the reactions and animations work was frustrating.
Well, let me tell you a few things that will help you to respect what they did a little bit. One, obviously, this game came out in 1989, so that puts some things into perspective. But two, prior to this, mainly your combat was shooting. Your combat was, you know, one sprite shooting another sprite, which is an easier thing to create than, you know, hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-hand combat hadn't been done or hadn't been done much until Prince of Persia. And so there, and then let me tell you about rotoscoping. So this was one of the first games, if not the first, where the art director, what he did was film his younger brother running and jumping and even sword fighting in completely white clothing. And then he took that footage and traced over that footage digitally so that he could create the realistic movements of the protagonist in this game.
That's cool.
And that makes sense.
Visually, it definitely looks more authentic than a lot of games.
Right. And especially for a game that old, I did notice the realistic, the lifelike movements and stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They could have gone for little, polygons and running around, and they didn't.
We're playing this many years removed, but when this game came out, the reviews, they went crazy. They said that it broke new ground with animation, so uncannily human, it must be seen to be believed.
Wow.
For the time, I can...
That is really funny, though, just...
But this is what I can say, playing it so many years in the future from when it came out, I can tell that they were very limited in what they could do, obviously, during that time. They didn't have the resources that we have today, and y'all may have not felt this, but after I got into it, maybe stage two, stage three, it was still difficult. It still pulled me out at times. But then when I had that music behind me and I was doing these leaps across these large spaces, I surprisingly felt like I was in the action movie, of those times for a few moments before I was ripped back out. But even during the sword fighting, because you can parry and you can stab, and I know there's input lag, but there were times where I felt what it would have been possibly to feel like when this game originally came out.
Oh, for sure. And I still think that, some of the stuff that you talk about, the art director kind of going above and beyond, and I think it shows not just in the animations, but in the... And maybe it's just the port. Maybe Konami just did a great job with it. But for the era, I thought it was one of the prettier games. I don't know. It was, hard game. Crazy hard game. But... really well done. Like, you can see why it spawned a whole set of games. Between that and the kinds of puzzles where you have to figure things out and run forward and backwards and use your mind, and it's a good game.
Let's talk about how it aged.
Aged.
Do you think that it aged well?
I don't.
Why?
I think a game that ages well is one that you can pick up and be fully re-immersed in, whatever good things it was. I think of the crazy amounts of fun we had playing Mega Man. I even think of original Super Mario Brothers or something that just you can pick it up and enjoy it for what it was, no matter what. Between the input lag and the trial and error design, and I don't see anyone, unless they're a fan of the series or specifically old games, wanting to pick this up and go through the experience.
I agree. I will say, though, that I can see some of the gameplay mechanics and styles, straight up there in Assassin's Creed. There's a lot of ledge grabbing.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that, crawling up buildings, ledge grabbing, jumping over gaps. It's totally, that mechanic totally transferred. I mean, and you even said they meant to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's really cool, because I wasn't expecting all those mechanics in this game. I thought it was just going to be first of all, I didn't think the input lag would be that severe. I didn't know the animations of the character would be like that. So I just thought it would be some simple platformer. I didn't realize you had to interact with the ledge and stuff like that. So I think that's pretty impressive, honestly, for being such an old game.
No, absolutely.
But as a whole, yeah, it's rough to pick up and try and... I mean, you can enjoy it. You can enjoy certain aspects of it, but like Kenny said, I couldn't get really immersed into it. I couldn't really find myself, really having...
It's when I can appreciate a lot of the stuff it did. You can tell it was a great game. I think one of the cool things is that you can tell it was designed for an older audience, between the graphics and the gameplay and the difficulty.
And the plot.
They hadn't started, sort of catering to hitting little kids a lot of later games go,
Right. Assassin's Creed doesn't
absolutely
do that.
And so that's cool. And you can see games in this style that have stayed all the way through. You think of the Batman games recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like those are this style of game, so they definitely sort of started.
It's almost like its own genre.
Exactly.
It's kind of unique in in the different in the ways that you progress through a level. It's pretty unique.
Yeah. So I'd say a good game, an impactful game that's made a difference, but not one that itself has aged well, in my mind.
I agree with y'all in part, and I disagree in other parts. I don't think the original game aged well, and I mean, if you thought this one didn't age well, try playing the Apple II version.
No, I'm good.
And you'll see the difference. Coming from there to playing one of the ports halfway through the week, I think it aged remarkably well. And by that, I mean with everything that it had against it, being so old, originally being on the Apple II, the lag. There's not much to the story, but there was something about the game for me that was captivating. There was charm to this game. I don't know. I could see the love put into it. I could see the creativity. And for some reason, I could just feel, and I haven't felt this in other games, but I could feel the heart that went into this game. And so when I was playing it, I was living that out. I think that the ports aged somewhat well. I enjoyed it, and think that others could possibly as well.
There's definitely, like, depending on sort of what you're looking for in a game, I think there's definitely people that would enjoy going back and playing it. I don't think most people would. But it is undoubtedly a good game. I think we're all agreeing on that.
So it's got a fan base. Obviously, the series continued, and so if this game is too ancient feeling for you, there's more recent Prince of Persia games that you can play and still, you know, get in that same atmosphere, right? Yeah. But there's a big fan base for this original game that they have, man, they have taken the original game and they've gotten the file formats and they've created levels themselves.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
I can really respect that. Like, they kept the same mechanics. It's the same engine.
Same engine, but they've also created over 60 mods for this game.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
It's like, definitely the kind of game that, like, if you enjoyed and played through and have fond memories of, I can see you just, like, really swearing by it. Because of the...
even though I don't like this game, I can really respect that. That's so awesome.
That's really cool. And I almost downloaded it. I decided not to just because of the poor reviews, but there's even an Android version called Prince of Persia Classic that is this original game on the Android. And so I almost got that to play that one as well. And
interesting.
I think there's new game modes like Time Attack and Survival on there, but I didn't. But that's out there for you if you're listening and you want to give it a try and you want to either play in your bed or
in the bathroom. Cell phone games are the best.
Then you can look that game up and purchase that for fairly cheap and give it a go.
The final shell shock.
Okay, question: which one was harder, this or Earthworm Jim?
Probably this one.
I'm gonna say this one, which is saying something because Earthworm Jim was tough.
Yeah, I feel like you can get lost so easy in this game,
absolutely.
And I did many times. I think that's why I would say it's harder. But not only that, you have to get used to the movement.
And yeah, learn to play it.
Yeah, this game I would say was a lot harder. It's the stages are really big, and
they are.
And like you said, I mean, you come out a door into the dungeon and then you can go left or right. If you go right, you might go for 20 minutes before realizing you should have gone left.
Yeah.
And then so you have to either die or find your way back to the door that you came out of and then go left again.
Which, on the clock, is so crazy.
I bet there's, like, on the wiki or something, a map of each stage where you can see from a side view. That would be so helpful playing this game. I know that exists. It has to.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. What's your favorite thing, Nolan, about this game? Like, if you had to, if there was a favorite aspect that you enjoyed or that you appreciated, what would that be?
It would definitely be the concept of it being a true dungeon crawler. Like, I don't know how to explain this, but you're not traveling through, like, different towns and stuff to get to the princess. She's above you, and you're stuck in the dungeons, and you have 2 hours. That's a I think that's really cool. And instead of getting through like a city and that's the end of the stage and then going to the next part or something like that, which I think probably the later Prince of Persia games do that, because there's like a, you know, roof hopping, jumping from building to building. I think it's really cool that you have to survive and you go to the very bottom, get a sword, and then you have to get out of this dungeon. I thought they actually did that quite well.
Kenny, your favorite thing?
It's no news. I've talked about it a few times. Probably the like art direction, as you've pointed out, kind of the look of the animations and just the look of the game as a whole. What they were able to get out of a fairly like boring, repetitive game, it just had some real polish.
Yeah,
maybe the mechanics itself, kind of the sort of genre defining things that it like accomplished.
My favorite on stage 4, you might have not gotten there because it takes a while to get there. Stage 5, I think, for the Super Nintendo. There is a time where to get back to the door that you opened to progress to the next level, you come face-to-face with a mirror. And it's the only dungeon, or the only stage with mirrors on it. And so you don't know what to do. And then you finally realize, I mean, after just standing there for a while, that you have to jump through it. And when you jump through it, your shadow or your doppelganger comes out the other side, and it's like a shadow of you. And he just stands there. You can't get back to him, which you're like, okay, so what in the world was that all about? Well, later in the game, that shadow comes back in one of the other dungeon stages, and he traps you. And you have to get past him. And then even later, maybe the next stage, you come face to face with him, and he's drawn his sword. And so you think you've got to fight him. And it's very creative because obviously there's no dialogue, but if you attack him, your health goes down. And so you can end up killing yourself by killing him. So the thing that you've got to do is you've got to jump through him. And when you jump through him at that final time, you merge together. And then your health is full again. And that's right before you go to the final stage. And I just think that's a really cool addition to
a neat way of putting like some storytelling elements into something that's pretty basic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I just thought that was creative and that was fun. That along with later the princess sends out a mouse to assist you, and I know you didn't get this far, guys, because it's near the very end of the game, but you come up and you're stuck at a gate and you can't go anywhere, but if you wait there for seriously like 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, then a mouse walks out on the other side of the stage and presses the button for the door to open and you to get
That's
through.
Great.
That's sweet.
So yeah, so there's a few storytelling elements that they include in there in the gameplay that I thought were a lot of fun. Last question in this summary section. Nolan, you talked about it briefly, but can you guys see how future games borrowed from and learned from
this early
Prince of Persia game?
Yeah. From all of the games we're playing, but especially this one.
How so?
Just even the kind of mechanics. Like, it really did almost define a genre. And then some of the creative things they did visually and the look of things, the actually having, like, hand-to-hand combat. I think there's plenty of places you can say it was influential.
I can see how it was definitely influential for Assassin's Creed. I know, but in general, I don't know. Maybe I don't really see how it impacted other games other than the Assassin's Creed series, other than not shooting a gun. You know, it that kind of combat. So I fail to see that. That's probably just me.
Yeah, and that's fine. I think honestly, with the original Assassin's Creed, that the same guys did rotoscoping for Altair for that main character in Assassin's Creed 1. So, I mean, since I've been immersed in the Assassin's Creed series, I can see how this game heavily, you know, or how Assassin's Creed heavily pulled from and was impacted by Prince of Persia. And, I respect Prince of Persia for what it is. I love that it has a fan base that has continued its legacy. And I think that's fun. I don't think it's a game for everybody. But if you do want to go back and play it, I would just say play one of the ports, either Super Nintendo, which has better music, or the Genesis, I think, which has better graphics, and have some fun. So we were at the time in our show where we select a new game to play.
It is. Before we do that, in honor of this week's game, can I suggest a game to add to our master list? It's one that this one made me think of just because of the whole sort of Persian theme.
Yeah.
And, I'd love to do the Aladdin game that came out after the movie that was, I think Genesis, maybe? I forget what it was on, but something that
right.
era.
Yeah.
And it was a real fun one.
Yeah.
Totally different than this game, but would be a cool one to go back and do.
Yeah, I think I played it on Super Nintendo, so it's probably both, but that was definitely a good game. I'll put it on the list.
And hey, viewers, remember, this list is something you can give us suggestions for. There's lots of great old games. We'd love to share the fond memories you have as we get to play through stuff, so send us in suggestions.
Or the nightmares you have about games. If you want us to stumble over a bad game, put it on the list and we'll play
if you hate us and love us being frustrated.
Yeah, and there's many ways that you can do that. One, you can email us, ngppodcast@gmail.com. You can post on our Facebook wall, which is just /ngppodcast. You can tweet at us, /ngppodcast. You can write a snail mail.
Snail mail.
Just put it, address ngppodcast.
Yeah.
That's all you need to put. They'll
that's
know
all
what
you need to put.
Right. Mm-hmm. Don't even
drop
need a stamp. Play along with us and with these games. We'd love for you to listen to this podcast early in the week, have a few days to play the game with us, and then send your comments, send your commentary regarding the game. In fact, someone did that just this last week on Twitter, @RevBeraldo, I think is his name. He played with us and he sent in some feedback saying that he finally got past the first stage of
Prince of Persia. Such an accomplishment.
Yeah. And so we obviously congratulated him on that. And then he revealed that he relied heavily on save states, which I don't blame him for.
No.
You can play along with us and keep us updated on any of our social media sites. We'd love for you to do that.
Absolutely. This is even more fun if it's a community thing.
So I guess let's
roll up this week's game.
All right, let's do it.
I'm excited. I get so hyped up. Literally my heart rate goes up during this like 2-minute period.
We could either get incredibly happy or really sad depending on the next thing Dustin says.
I'm
absolutely
spinning the randomizer. The game that we will be playing for the next 7 days is called Civilization 2.
Yes!
And he is happy.
I love it. That's one I put on the list because I have such fond memories from my childhood. And we've done so many console games that doing a PC game will be great.
Haven't you been playing a Civilization game recently?
I have. Actually, I've been doing Civilization 5 as my like non-retro game of choice recently. And just this week, for the first time, did the One City Challenge on Deity Mode and beat it and felt like a boss. And so going back to the roots of that series is going to be so much fun for me.
Well, hopefully some people know what you're talking about. So was this on PC?
Yeah, it's a PC game.
Or Apple II?
Nope. PC.
Dust off the old Apple II.
Windows 95 era, maybe Windows 3.1 era, though, even. I think 95.
Guys, thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you enjoy our podcast, would you just take a moment and rate and review it? That would help us tremendously, either on iTunes or Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you're listening to this on. And as we've already said, find us on social media or through email. Connect with us throughout the week. We'd love to do this along with you. And we'll see you next week for episode 8, playing Civilization 2.
Bye, everyone.
Have a great week.